Welcome to the 365 Outdoors Podcast, your destination to discuss, contribute, and engage with members of the 365 outdoor community. Us today, buddy. And, Kellen, how do you pronounce your last name? Ballard?
Like, can I see it?
Like Ballard. Mallard with a B.
That's it.
You duck hunting or just deer?
Man, I've duck hunted. I mean, I got white bears and a good shotgun. It's, you know, an all-purpose shotgun, duck chokes. I don't duck hunt though.
Yeah, I don't blame it.
I don't have a decoy spread, and I don't have a dog, and I don't know. I can't hunt everything.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Early mornings and not a lot to show for it. It's not my cup of tea, but you know, some guys.
And like they don't even taste good.
Yeah, mucky. Yeah. All right, so, Catlin, where are you from, man?
From South Alabama. A little town called Andalusia. A lot of people in the oil field probably heard of that name, but a lot of people in the hunting industry probably have not. So it's a small town, about 12,000 people. A lot of beach traffic. If anybody's ever been to the beach down I-65 through Alabama, they definitely more than likely come through Andalusia. So
yeah, okay. And how do you know Buddy?
Me and Buddy met on a drilling rig. We used to work offshore together. He was on the same crew as I was, and I was new to the rig, so he'd already been to that. He was already on that rig, been on that rig for a few years, and we started riding back and forth. We found out we lived an hour from each other and started riding back and forth. So and then Buddy quit that company and I quit that company, and we kind of went separate ways for a few years and never even talked to each other much. And we got reunited probably 2018 on another drilling rig. So then we started hitting off the hunting pretty hard together. So
nice. So you guys do quite a bit of hunting together then?
Yeah, well, we went to Missouri together last year, and that was about the end of our hunting togetherness. We really haven't, since then I've quit offshore and took a job here at home. So I haven't had as much time. I was unable to go to Missouri with him this year, but I haven't had as much time to connect and go hunting with him and stuff like that. We thought about hitting up the National Forest down here and stuff like that, but schedules just haven't lined up yet.
Yeah, Buddy, you've been pretty busy, right? When do you go back offshore?
I leave tomorrow.
Oh, I knew it was soon. Yeah. I didn't know. Then you'll be offshore, what, for 3 weeks?
4 weeks. I'll be coming home, I think, January the 25th.
Just in time for that rut to be kicking off.
Let me tell you, I don't miss that.
Yeah, I'll be getting home just in time for this South Alabama rut.
So, the whole topic of today's episode, which I'm going to name it Saddle Up, and we got Catlin on because Catlin's a expert in the saddle hunting business
industry. I don't know about expert, but I definitely have some opinions, and I think they're good ones. So
yeah, well, listen, we don't get paid by Tethered, we don't get paid by Cruiser, we don't get paid by Trophy Line, we don't get paid by anybody. So if you have an opinion, you can down whoever you want. I don't care. Don't matter to me. I just want to know from guys who have done it and been there, what's the best way to do things, what's the best gear in your opinion, the pros and cons. So we're gonna break it all down, because I don't know if Buddy talked to you about my personal experiences this year, next year I'm hunting exclusively out of a saddle. I'm getting rid of my hang-ons.
Well, I did listen to the last podcast, and I do have some disagreements with Buddy on his perspective of a climber versus a saddle, but if you go strictly to a saddle, you will not regret it.
Excellent. So let's just do like a little background here. Catlin, when did you start hunting out of a saddle?
I started hunting out of a saddle last year. Burnell was actually on the same old rig as me and Buddy last year. They were conjuring up this trip to go to Missouri and asked me if I wanted to go. And I said, yeah, I'll go. I said, what do I need? And they said, well, you need a run and gun lock on set up. And I said, well, I got a lock on, but I don't have any sticks. And they kind of pointed me in the right direction. Well, then I come across a saddle. And Burnell actually had one at the time, but never hunted out of it, never even climbed a tree with it at that point. And I asked him, I said, well, if you could go back and buy a different brand saddle right now, which one would it be? He told me the Cruiser XC, so that's the one I purchased and started hunting out of it. Well, started practicing out of it in July of last year. So I watched YouTube video upon YouTube video on what to do, how to do it, what I needed, what I didn't need, you know, everything. And it kind of spun off from there, and I picked up on it pretty good.
Yeah, I think the resources available today in, you know, this era of social media and YouTube. I watched a great video today, and I'll plug them. I don't even care. The Hunting Public with Tethered had a great, like, 20-minute long video, intro to saddle hunting, and they kind of broke down everything and how everything works. Because, you know, I grew up in northern Wisconsin. I don't know anybody who hunted out of a saddle until like last year. So, I mean, this is something that was completely new to me. I mean, I didn't even know up where I'm from. Guys hunt out of they hunt out of lock hang-ons, and they hunt out of climbers, and that's it. Or box blinds, you know, if you're lucky enough to sit in a box blind. But
yeah, the saddles. The saddle hunting style has been around since the 80s, you know. But the new era of saddle hunting has only been going for probably 5 years or so. You know, it's, when I say new era, it's not what they have. You know, they had the sit and drag saddle. It was just a couple of belts around the thighs and then a waist belt and a bridge in between. You hooked up to it and stood on a tree limb. You know, nowadays it's taking a platform in there with you, and you're sitting in a full mesh seat, basically. And you're tethered to the tree. It's a lot different style, but it's been around for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just amazing to me how all these setups, everybody's setups change, and everybody personalizes their setup to what works for them. And the technologies are so advanced now for weight reduction. I mean, you can get a setups that are super lightweight, a compact, and I mean, it's the options are pretty much endless in the marketplace. So it's pretty exciting times if this is something that you're interested in.
Well, ain't no doubt, especially if you got money, because it is expensive.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, no, it is. But all and I want to talk about that a little bit towards the end. But honestly, like, I'm not so sure it is that expensive if you consider the capabilities that you gain with that setup and the flexibility you have. You know, you don't need three or four lock-ons set in specific spots and go in a month before the season. You can take one setup on your back the entire year and hunt off out of your pack the whole year.
That's right.
You know,
think about it. Millennium lock-ons, it's over $200.
Yeah.
So if you're a guy who likes Millennium lock-ons and you need five or six of them on your lease, then you just spent $1,000 plus on lock-ons and stick.
Yeah. No, I mean, the cheapest lock-on you can get is about $100. You know, you can get a Primal for like $69 maybe on sale somewhere. So if you buy three or four of those for your property, right there, that's $240. That's the cost of just the saddle itself. Plus you need sticks for all those setups. And even if you go with the cheapest, you know, River's Edge steel that are super heavy, you're never going to pack those in every time. Even if you go with those, I mean, those are $12 a stick, $10 a stick if you get them super dirt cheap. I mean, each setup's going to cost you $120 at least. So if you want to hunt three spots, you know, if you want to hunt three spots all year and spend $400, that's great. Or you can spend $500 and be able to hunt any tree on your property, literally any tree, any day. It's, I don't know, it's something that...
And it all depends. It all depends on the area, too. It depends on what you're hunting. We do a lot of feeder hunting, corn, bait, food plots. So for me to have a set of pre-hung sticks on a feeder is better than me toting, you know, aluminum sticks in with me every time. I can just scurry up those steel sticks that have been there that I had a lock on hanging in that tree. And all I have to do is put my platform up and saddle on it. And when I come down, I don't have to worry about sticks. But if I'm a public land guy and then that's all I have the availability to, it's going to knock a climber out of the water, in my opinion.
Buddy, that's a little shot at you, I think.
Yeah. Like y'all said, everybody got opinions. Yeah. But to touch on that, you know, I was talking on that last podcast about how I had that new saddle coming in, and I couldn't wait to try it out. So I got that new saddle in. I've been trying it out, and man, it made a world of difference just swapping models and going up a size. So I stayed with the Cruiser saddle. I went from a Cruiser Archon 2-panel to the Cruiser XC. And I had a size 2 in the Archon. I went with a size 3 in the XC because layering it, I'm a size 38 in the waist. And that's borderline between a 2 and a 3. And then by the time you get some layers on, you know, I need that bigger size. So, and man, it's made a world of difference.
Yeah, so can we talk in detail for a second about your two setups? Because, I'm not a saddle hunter yet. I don't have a setup at all. I have an idea that at the end I'd like to talk about with you guys and get your opinions on. But I want to just, like, break down your setups and what you like about it, what you'd change about it, if anything, and just kind of, like, what you started with and how you navigated the saddle world. So, like, buddy, you said you started with a Cruiser Archon, and now you upgraded to an XC, right?
That's right.
What was your reasoning? I know, like, sizing, but was there any specific features on the Archon that you didn't really like? And why Cruiser in general? Why not Tethered or Trophy Line or another company?
Well, I based my which brand I went with based on everybody else's perspective, what they've dealt with, what they've used, you know, from their experiences.
Right. So so Burnell used the XC, right, and he recommended that you go with that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just him, but yeah. There's a lot of it on Facebook, you know, and all those groups that everybody's really pushing that Cruiser XC. But, you know, and they had just come out with an Archon when I ordered mine. And I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be the next great thing. I might get a leg up on these guys. You know what I mean? So I was going to have the next greatest thing. And there's a lot of guys like that Archon. It's not a bad saddle by no means. But it's got two panels, so there's twice the adjustments. You know, and it takes some practicing with it and getting it right. And then when I was layering it up, it was too small for me. So then I was dealing with hip pinch. And I couldn't get comfortable. I was 2-3 hours tops in a tree, and I was ready to come down. I was hurting in my hips, and I uncomfortable. couldn't stand it, and I was to the point I was ready to give up saddle hunting. But I said, well, these saddles are still selling for what they sell new. I said, I'll sell my Archon, get me an XC. If I don't like it, I'll shed every bit of it. But I'm really liking this XC.
Yeah, Catlin, what's your current saddle setup? And like, what did you start with and how did you progress through?
My first and only saddle I've ever owned is a Cruiser XC size 2. I've laid my eyes on a couple of different other brands, never saddled up to any other brands. Funny story on Burnell, he actually had the Trophy Line saddle in Missouri last year when we all went. He was complaining about how heavy the setup was and how uncomfortable he was. I was like, man, let's go over here to this cottonwood tree and let me tether up and throw a platform on the tree and you can just right here at ground level try it out. He jumped in it and immediately saw the difference. He was like, this thing is so much lighter. The buckles are better. The build, everything about it's just better. It's way more comfortable. And he actually rode home with us coming back from Missouri, sold his Trophy Line and bought the Cruiser XC size 2 before he sold his Trophy Line and ended up selling his Trophy Line on the internet before we even made it to his house. And that was about, what, 9-hour drive, 8-hour
yeah,
drive?
Yeah, on the ride home.
It might be 10 hours.
Yeah, yeah, so.
They sell quick.
I've laid my eyes on a Hawk saddle. A good buddy of mine got a Hawk saddle for Christmas, and he was showing it to me. And, you know, it's a great saddle for the price. I mean, if you're on a budget and you can't afford a higher end setup like Cruiser, it's going to be good enough to get you through until you're ready to upgrade. And I just noticed the buckles are a lot different on that saddle and everything. And the hardware is just, you know, cheaper made, it seems like. And that's my opinion on it. Now, there's probably several people who think different, but it's all based on opinions. But I like my Cruiser XC, and it's going to be the saddle I use for years to come.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, if a saddle's priced more competitively, we'll say, cheaper, then, you know, the material used to make that saddle is obviously going to be cheaper, and the quality could be lesser. Maybe not, but the majority of the time, you know, that old saying, you get what you pay for. So the way I was thinking about it, as somebody looking to buy a saddle, and I'll just tell you guys where I'm at. I'm going to be purchasing a Cruiser XC this off season for sure. I'm actually done. My season's over. Last day of the year was yesterday for me. So I'm out of the woods for the year. But based on your guys' reviews, everybody I've talked to, and the price difference is about $50. $50 to $100 for just a saddle, right? When I break it down, I spent over 100 hours in the tree this year. That's like $1 an hour of my, you know, if I break down in my personal time, for $1 an hour, I'll pay the extra for 1 year, you know, to offset that difference. That's kind of the way I always break it down. Like, is it really worth it? For $1 an hour to upgrade quality and comfort, I think it is. So that would be,
from what I've seen, the quality versus price, you know, is an impact. If you're gonna buy the cheaper, you know, equipment in saddle hunting, it's gonna reflect on your experience in the field. You know, from the sticks to the saddle. It's not just the saddle; it's the ropes, it's the sticks, stuff like that. So if you can spend a little bit more money on your entire setup, I think you'll be way more satisfied.
So, I'm gonna jump in right here if you don't mind. So, Catlin touched on a topic that something he touched on the sticks. So Catlin has had several different setups with the sticks. And he has got one setup right now that a lot of people won't use. It's an intimidating setup. Catlin, jump off into what you've used and go off into what you have now?
First set of sticks. That's what Buddy's referring to. He's referring to the sticks. I started out with some 30-inch Hawk Heliums last year in Missouri, and they're good. They're good sticks, you know, especially for the price. They do make a little bit of noise. The ones I had creaked a little bit. I actually had a couple of bolts strip when assembling and just replaced those with the Grade 8 bolts, you know, just a better integrity bolt. But other than that, they packed really light. I mean, fairly light, in my opinion. They were a little long. I will say I only used 3 sticks. Everybody gets the mindset that they have to have 4 sticks to get 20 feet, and that is not true. We'll touch on that in a minute. But after the season went out last year, I took one of those. I had 4 of those Hawk Helium sticks, 30 inches long, and I took one of them and cut it down to, I think, 12 inches. And had 2 steps on it, and I ordered a cam cleat off of Amazon and made a 3-step aider out of 1/4-inch AM steel, and I'd done converted to a 1-stick method. I ordered some 40-foot rope, rappel rope, rappelling device, and started 1-sticking, and I haven't turned back since, and I got lucky. I was in on a Facebook raffle and ended up winning Ultimate 1-Stick from Eastern Woods Outdoors for $20. I only bought 1 slot and won a $280 1-Stick, $20.
Lucky.
And it was, I mean, it is loaded. It's loaded out. It's a 12-inch stick with a 3-step web aider and a cam cleat with a full berry AM steel, 1/4-inch full berry AM steel, and it has a angled platform on top of it. So once you get to hunting height, you're standing on your platform and you have nothing below you. I've had deer walking through the woods and see my aiders on my Hawk Heliums blowing in the wind and follow those sticks up the tree and pinpoint me hanging there looking like an idiot. And that's what kind of turned me on to 1-stick, and I had the idea that if I got up there and I didn't have anything else below me on the tree, then they would, at eye level to the deer, then they would never do that again, and I haven't had that happen since. But 1-sticking, you really have to trust your equipment. You have to get after it. You can't be lazy and be afraid to put in a little work, because it does take a little work to get up the tree.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar with what that process looks like, can you kind of explain like how you would use 1-stick to like traverse 20 feet into the tree?
First thing I'll do is walk up to the tree and attach the 1-stick about, I put the cam cleat about head high on me with a 3-step aider is perfect. And I'll start up the stick, and once I get to the top, I'll throw my lineman's belt around the tree, and I'll pull the end of my 40-foot rope. I have some 40-foot, 8mm, it's not Oplux, but it's something else. It's reinforced Oplux is what it is. And I'll tether it to the tree using a quick link, and then I'll take my rappel device. It's a Mad Dog Safeguard, and I'll attach it to my bridge and to that 40-foot line, and that's basically my tether. Now, if something were to ever happen while I'm, you know, scooting up this tree with 1-stick, I always have the option to just rappel down. If I slip and break an arm or a leg or something, you know, if I have a bad accident, then I can rappel down the tree. I don't have to worry about climbing down. I can just rappel down as long as my hands aren't broke, I guess, but it's a little bit safer. You can get down a lot faster and a lot safer. And once I'm tethered up, I'll take my lineman belt off and I'll actually wrap my legs around the tree and reach down and grab that 1-stick off below me. And I'll unhinge it from that cleat and I'll put 1 knee and 1 foot against the tree and kind of kick out far enough to where that tether rope will rest against the platform, and that holds that stick in place so I can get that full berry amstel around the tree and back into that cam cleat. Once I do that, I can start advancing up the one stick. Now, once I get into that second rung of that aider, that lineman belt goes back around that tree, and then I have 2 points of contact holding me. I have slack in my tether, but then my lineman's belt is tied against the tree, so if I were to slip, I'm not going to go far. At this point, I'll start scooting that tether up the tree as I'm taking steps on the one stick, and then I'm back to the top of that one stick, and I'll take all the slack out of that tether and repeat. I can get about 20 feet in 3 moves. So
that's pretty good.
And that one stick weighs about 3.5-4 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty interesting setup. I don't think a lot of people would think of that, to add that step aider in. And I know it comes, doesn't that come with the package from it's Eastern Outdoors makes that, correct?
Eastern Woods Outdoors, yes. Yeah. They have several different configurations for that one stick. You can get it with an angled platform, you can get it with a straight, you can get it up to 18 inches long, or I think you can get it anywhere from 12, 15 to 18 inches long, just the metal hardware of the stick. And then you can have a 2 or 3 step aider, and you can have different spacings on that as well. They will space that into different configurations as well. So
you basically,
there's lots of options there.
You basically have your steps and platform built into one unit, and that's all you have to pack
that's
in.
That's right.
And you can traverse 20 feet and hunt out of that setup. No steps involved.
Yep. So if you're
one step,
if you're one sticking up a tree and you're going to where you think you need to get to, and then all of a sudden you're standing at the top of that stick and you're like, well, I don't need to go any higher than this. Or if I need to just go 2 foot higher, you don't have to worry about a full 30-inch Hawk Helium sticking off the side of the tree, and you only have to go up at halfway, you know. So.
Right. So you traverse, as far as like your tether, you traverse that up just like you would with a climber, like facing the tree, move it up as you progress up your step aider.
That's right.
Okay. And then you have your lineman's belt as well. So your lineman belt's
yes.
tight while you're traversing. And then when you go to move your step aider up, your one stick, you're going to kick away from the tree, pull that up, and then like reassess where your situation is, tighten it to the tree, and then progress
right.
up with your lineman's. Okay. Makes perfect sense.
Now the lineman belt does come off the tree once you go to hanging from
right,
your tether
right,
to
yeah.
to grab the stick below you.
Just as you knew, as you would with, oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I was saying
yeah.
once you're tethered in and ready to hunt, it would come off just like you would with any normal sticks and saddle setup.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. Buddy, what do you think about that setup? Is that something you would consider doing, or what do you use now?
So, I've never tried the one stick method. I'm not against giving it a try, but I'm pretty fat. I'm not pretty lazy.
I can confirm that.
I use the 4 mini sticks. So I've got the Novix minis
yep.
for my sticks, and I added it's a 16 or 18 inch cable aider on the bottom of each one, and then I've got on top of each one I added the double step on top of each stick. I haven't weighed my setup, but it works great. It works great. The Novix sticks, they do shift a little bit, but I mean I haven't had one slip off the tree or slip sideways or nothing like that. They do, you know, shift a little bit, but adding that double step to the top of the stick is what made it a good stick for me, you know. And since I ordered those sticks, I believe now you can get those sticks with the double steps on top or on top and bottom. And if they'd offered that when I ordered mine, that's the way I would have got them.
Yeah, so I've, as somebody who's trying to get into this, I've looked at a ton of manufacturers of sticks. I've used like heavier sticks for my hang on setups, more stationary stuff, you know, but nothing I would consider packing in every day. I know like Lone Wolf makes a really good set. They're very expensive. Novix is a great set. They're a little pricier too. The Hawk Helium just last year, I don't know if you guys know this, came out with a 20 inch stick instead of the 30 inch. So there's a 4-pack of 20 inch sticks instead of the traditional 30 inch 3-step. They're 20 inch 2-steps. But I didn't even consider until talking to Catlin about the 1-step method. You know, Catlin, what's like your build like? What's your waist size? You're in a size 2 saddle?
Size 2 saddle. I'm 36 waist, so I'm in between the range. Their range on that's 34 to 38.
Yep.
That's just the adjustability of the belt itself. Now, you might be a 34 and find that a bigger saddle, the size 3, fits your hips. You know, you just have to try it. Right. The only downfall to that is the only way to try it is if you buy it.
or if you
know somebody. But
right, so.
A lot of people are going to want to give up saddle hunting as soon as they get into it because it is not the normal. You're not in your normal.
Yeah, like you said, it's outside your comfort zone, and it takes some getting used to. But once you get used to it and you do it a few times and you kind of get you a routine and a pattern, and once you get that little routine and that pattern built, I mean, it's just like anything else. You get a little faster with it. And then before you know it, 5 minutes, you're up a tree.
Right.
You know, in under 5 minutes. And, I mean, to do it the way Catlin's doing it, if he can be up a tree in under 5 minutes, I mean, he's hardly carrying anything in.
Yeah.
Hey, I've actually got a third option of climbing, and it's made by Out on a Limb. It's called a Scout platform, and all it is a platform. And I bought a thing from the Amsteel guy called a Amsteel Workhorse, and it's basically a 3-step aider made out of Amsteel. And you 1-stick with this platform and 3-step aider. And that 1 platform itself weighs right at a pound. Mm. So, you know, if like you got to walk in a mile to where you're going or more, that would be the ideal one to do. Now, it's not that comfortable. Your feet are up against the tree. You're kind of pigeon-toed. Your feet are kind of pigeon-toed at the tree. And it's not something you're going to want to sit in for 5 or 6 hours.
Right.
But it is definitely a light setup to get in there.
That Amsteel Aider, what size is it?
On that particular Workhorse Edition Aider, I believe that was 1/4 inch. Now, every other Aider on my 30-inch sticks is 1/4 inch as well, but that's all based on, you know, mm-hmm. the pound rating, the rating of the rope itself.
So you're saying I need 1/2 inch.
You might need 1/2 inch. No, I hope you ain't tying it knots either.
Oh, man. You guys are great.
Everybody out there, you know, I mean, if you ain't picking up on it, I'm a bigger guy, and I'm hunting out of the saddle. So there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, bigger, heavy-set guys that think they can't do it. They're just being uncomfortable. And it's doable. It is. And you can pack lighter. You can get further in the woods. Don't be shy from it.
Yeah, so as two guys that have hunted out of saddles and started their journey as saddle hunters, would you recommend somebody who's just breaking in to go with a more traditional, like, 4-step method to start, or jump right into a 1-step method if they're physically able and not buddy's build?
I would highly recommend that you get the more traditional setup and go with just 3 or 4 stick setup first. till you get comfortable with the setup, because once you go to one sticking, you're going to get uncomfortable again. Because if you don't trust the ropes, you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
Because that is the only thing that's holding you up. So when you're one sticking, the ropes are solely the only thing holding you up. Whenever you're, going up regular sticks, you can go up those sticks without that lineman belt if you wanted to. Yeah, right. That's going to be tough, but you can do it. With one stick, and you can't. You have to use the ropes, and if you don't trust those ropes to begin with, then the one stick method is not for you.
Yeah. And, buddy, I didn't mean to dig on you. I'm just saying, it's hard to carry all those beers up with you when you're one sticking. It's not the easiest process.
Well, when you're doing it like that, you take two pull-up ropes. That way you got one hooked to your cooler and one hooked to your boat.
Perfect. I mean, that's advice from a veteran there. So are you guys running the cruiser setups for the tethers and the lineman belt, or do you guys use a different setup for that?
I bought the ropes. I bought the cruiser ropes.
Okay.
When I bought my saddle.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I got but they got two different ones. What are they called?
They got one with the off-plugs.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
That's an 8mm rope. And then they have an 11mm rope.
I got one right there in that other one.
So the 11mm rope is way more cumbersome than the 8mm. It's heavier, it's thicker, obviously, and it's not as, it doesn't have as much, bendability to it. It's a little bit stiffer.
Sure.
Now with the 8mm rope, if you go to using these mechanical Prusik knots, whatever, it does become unsafe at that point because the rope size, especially the more weight you put on a rope, the smaller in diameter it's going to go. So I highly recommend, if you're going to use an 8mm rope, then you need to use a Prusik knot with it, not a Ropeman 1 or anything like that, or even a Ropeman 2, nothing. I think Kong is a brand mechanical Prusik knot.
Yep.
They make one for an 8mm rope. And to my knowledge, they're the only company who makes one that's rated for an 8mm rope. So,
yeah. I've seen the Kongs, and they seem to be extremely high-reviewed items. And as far as, I'm fairly familiar with a Prusik knot because I use a lineman's belt when I'm getting into my hang-ons. And it's a pain to have to use two hands to adjust that knot. To be able to reach down with one hand and be able to, pull up or take out slack in that lineman's belt or your tether is huge. Do you guys run any of those Kongs or adjustable, the one-handed adjustable knots on your setups or no?
I run a Prusik knot. When I do my one stick, I use the Mad Dog Safeguard. Now, the Mad Dog Safeguard is not rated for an 8mm rope. Just because it's not rated for one doesn't mean it won't work. But I'm not telling anybody to do it, because if you get hurt, it's on you. what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it will work. It has a rating on there for a reason. But I use a reinforced optics rope. I can't remember the exact name for it, but it's not, the Mad Dog Safeguard is not rated for 8mm. I believe it's rated for 10mm. Don't quote me on that, but I've never had it slip. I trust it. I've been using it all year long and never had an issue. So
right. As far as I know, Catlin, you said your one stick has a platform on the top of it. So that's the platform you use to hunt, correct?
Yes.
Buddy, what platform are you running? Or are you running,
hang on, I'm having steps? A brain fart.
It's the Predator. Running the Predator.
I'm running the tethered Predator.
Yeah.
Just the regular.
Yeah.
They do have two different sizes.
Yeah, I'm just running the regular one. I like it. It's not a bad platform at all. It packs well on the outside of my backpack. My backpack, and it straps to the front of it. And I am looking to explore and mess with some different stuff as far as the platform goes. Now, you asked a while ago about the Kong and stuff. And I have one. I haven't used it yet. And, it's like we was talking a while ago. You kind of, with the saddle stuff, you take steps into it. You know, you don't just jump into a one-stick method. You take steps towards that. And that's what I'm doing. I hadn't got to my cone yet. And my platform, I hadn't got to where I've used anything else other than my tethered Predator.
I will say this about the ropes. The Prusik knot, if you are going to run a Prusik knot, the rope for that Prusik knot needs to be at least two sizes smaller than your tether. If it is not, then it will not perform like it's supposed to. So Buddy's got a 8mm Hoplux right here, and he's got a 6mm Prusik knot rope. The rope for the Prusik knot is 6mm.
Yep. Okay. Makes sense.
That is a safety hazard there. If you try to take, if you think you're going to go buy 50 foot of 8mm rope and make as many Prusik knots and tethers as you want, then you're putting yourself at risk of slipping.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. Do you guys use any haulers or like what's your pack setup look like when you're going in? And also, let's. Do you guys use any haulers or packs? What's that setup look like?
Buddy, you've got the cruiser dump pouch, right?
No, I don't have the cruiser dump pouch. I just ordered a cheap dump pouch off of eBay.
That's what I did. Yeah, the one I got, I just ordered a $10 one off of Amazon. It's like a military dump pouch. You know, it's got maul loops on it, and it holds my tether and my lineman belt, and I actually have a public land friendly gear hanger that I made. It's basically just daisy chain, quarter inch amsteel. Everything fits in that one dump pouch. It'd be nice to have another one, but I don't want to pile too much stuff on my saddle, to be honest.
Yeah.
But once you start hanging sticks and platforms off of you to start going up a tree, the last thing you want is another dump pouch, in my opinion.
When I bought my dump pouch, I bought two. And when I first got my first saddle in, I setting it up, I put both dump pouches on it. And the first hunt, I realized, I was like, yeah, this is a mistake.
You have a backpack. You're going to have a backpack.
And you got pockets.
So, yeah, pockets. I mean, you don't have to have everything in there. Now, I will say that the 11mm tether that I have in that dump pouch takes up a lot more room than that 8mm. I borrowed Burnell's Oplux rope, 8mm Oplux rope in Missouri last year on those last couple of days, and it took up a lot less room than that dump pouch.
So my dump pouch, I have the cruiser back strap, the one that kind of lean back.
Oh, yeah, the recliner.
The Fat Boy model.
Yeah, I got one.
And so I got one of those, and I put it in my dump pouch first. So this on bottom because it's the least priority.
Yeah, I hardly use mine,
but I got it in there, and then I got two of those Oplix, a tethered and a lineman's rope in there, and I could actually put something else in there if I needed to, but that's all I carry in my dump pouch, and that's it.
Now, I do have a little bit different setup, one stick. I have a separate dump pouch for that's detachable, really easy. And all it is a military, it's off Amazon. I think it was $10 or $15, and it's a water bottle pouch. And it holds 40 feet of that 8mm rope, and it holds that quick link. I did have it modified a little bit, but it holds that quick link, and it holds my bow pull-up rope, and it holds that carabiner and my safeguard in there, my rappel device. Holds everything in that one pouch. It does have an opening at the top for your rope to feed through. I did have to cut it a little bit to get that quick link to go through there, but I'm rappelling down and that rope is coming out of that pouch. It's not like I have 40 feet of rope hanging below me. Mm-hmm. So it's coming out of that pouch as soon as while I'm rappelling down the tree. But I will say this, if you've never figure eighted your pull-up rope, you need to do that. It'll save yourself a lot of cuss words.
Yeah, so that's a good YouTube video on that if you need to learn how to do it.
You can use your pinky and your thumb and figure eight paracord pull-up rope, and every time you take it out of your pack,
it's never tangled.
You let it go from the tree or throw it on the ground, it is never going to tangle. You have to do the same thing with your rappel rope if that's the route you decide to go, because 40 feet of 8mm rope will get tangled up very quick.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine the disaster that could be and the implications that could have.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the actual hunting aspects of a saddle. We've talked a lot about the pros being that it's super flexible and you can, pretty much climb any tree you'd like, and this unlimited setup potential. What are the big cons and downfalls of saddle hunting?
I would have to say the biggest con for me is time.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you're going to hear a lot of people in the saddle industry talk about how fast they are getting up and down a tree. Well, let me tell you right now, I do not hit the woods trying to get to a tree and up that tree as fast as I can, because once you start doing that, you're going to start making mistakes and you're going to forget to clip that lineman belt to the tree, and you're going to let go of that tree. You know what I mean? It's just, why would you be bragging about how fast you can hang a lock on? A saddle or a lock on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's people are going to argue that they can get up a tree faster with a lock on than I can with my saddle. Well, kudos to you, because I don't care. You know, it's just, as long as I get up that tree and get up that tree safe, that's the only thing that matters to me. So.
So the cons for me would be, I agree with you on time, but the amount of parts and pieces it takes to make one complete setup and make it yours and modify it and do what you need to do to make it work for you, you know, and the time. Yeah. That is a downfall to it. But if you want to be mobile, if you want to be lightweight, you want to do it. It is comfortable when you have the right setup. It is comfortable. It is lightweight, and it can be very rewarding.
I'm not sure how long it would take me to get up the tree, to be honest. I've never timed myself, but I do know that I have sweated profusely some days.
Oh, man.
And just second guess, you know, what I was doing. But once I got up the tree and got situated, set up, it's like, why would I even go back? I'm in the ready position at all times. You know, it's if my knees are rested against the tree, I can still reach my boat. I don't get lazy with it, I guess is what I could say. If I'm hunting out of a Millennium lock-on, I can't tell you how many times I've had a leg throwed up on my knee or sitting sideways in that thing, and a deer comes out and it's like, I'm in a bad position. I can't move right now. I can't even grab my bow because it's hanging on a 8-inch screw-in bow hanger completely behind me. And saddle hunting, 9 times out of 10, the tree is between me and whatever I'm hunting, whether it's a trail, food plot, feeder, whatever. I'm behind that tree, and my bow is within arm's reach and eyesight. You know, it's right there in front of me the entire time.
Well, let me ask you this, because this happens to me every time I'm in the saddle. I'm sitting there in the tree. I you can see a lot more when you're.
I'm
constantly looking. I'm constantly just. I feel like I'm moving because I'm.
You feel more comfortable, don't you?
I'm more comfortable, but I'm moving because I feel like I got so much to watch and look for deer and try and catch before they get up under me, you know. And,
man, looking behind you, it's way easier to look behind you. You know.
Oh yeah.
You don't have that tree in your way, and you can swivel on that carabiner right there and just kind of. And a lot of people are going to think it's a lot of movement. It's not.
It feels like it is.
It is, but it's not. I mean, you would just have to experience it for yourself. I mean, it's way more comfortable, too, as far as moving around. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been trying to pivot around on a lock-on to try to get a shot on something that's kind of behind you, but it's kind of scary, you know what I mean? And a lot of hunters don't even wear a safety vest, you know? And with a saddle, you're 100% tied off the entire time.
Yeah, no, I'm the type of person who I can sit still for about 2.5-3 hours, and then I have to shift. I got to move. I got to stand up. And then after that, from that moment where I cross the threshold and I say, man, like, I'm uncomfortable sitting in this lock-on, then I stand up, and then I stand for 20 minutes, and I sit down. Then I sit for 20 minutes, and I stand up. And it's like that for the rest of the day. You know, I just can't get comfortable. But that movement alone is just as much movement as in a saddle or lap, you know, maybe more, more movement than what you'd be doing in a saddle. And I'm sure it's a lot of the same kind of thing. You shift your weight a little bit in the saddle. You increase the angle of the tether or decrease the angle of the tether, change the angle on your back, you know, you can go into the tree or away from the tree. I mean, there's so many different specific positions you can set your body that I'm sure you can take pressure off certain points and find a comfortable position, even when you're not comfortable.
One of the best things I've bought for that saddle so far is it's a Mossy Oak. I think it's a Mossy Oak heated seat type thing from Walmart. It's like maybe an inch thick. It's like memory foam type stuff. And it's got a little 1-inch strap that goes around the tree with a plastic buckle, and let me tell you what, if you don't have one of those,
you're using that instead of knee pads?
Man, that blows them knee pads out of the water.
Really?
Yes, the knee pads shift around because I have some cheap ones off of Amazon.
I haven't had mine shift.
Mine have shifted up and down my knees. They have, I mean, it's just, they don't grip that tree. Like, my knees grip this thing, you know what I mean? So if I have to make a squatting shot, but I need to pivot around the tree, because this thing takes out, unless I'm in just a gigantic tree, you know, it's easy.
I like my knee pads. I got the cheap trophy line.
Oh, see, I don't have any of that. Like, mine are just like some really shown up knockoff Amazon.
Yeah.
Prime deal.
These ain't bad now. They got the rubber down the center.
Where they like, you got
vertical?
Them?
They in the truck. When we get done with this, I'll show them to you. But they got the rubber that goes up and down the knee pad, the vertical, and then by the tree good.
Buddy, do you ever
had them slip around?
Do they ever pinch the back of your legs, or do they ever, you know, you ever have them get uncomfortable on your actual legs?
You talking about the knee pads, right?
Yeah, so the knee pads.
These knee pads, it's got one band that's nylon and one band that's elastic, and I just kind of snug up that nylon one. I believe it's on top. And then the elastic one, I leave, you know, kind of just a little snug.
See, I think my knee pads, both straps are elastic. That's why they slide.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because they don't really get, I mean, you can cinch them down, don't get me wrong, but they're going to cut the circulation off.
But all of these, like this morning, I had reached down there and snug that elastic one up on my left leg too much. And it was getting a little uncomfortable, so I just reached down and loosened it up a little, and I was fine. But all these knee pads ain't bad. I mean, they're like $20, $25.
I think the shipping on them was more than the knee pads at one point, because I looked into getting them, and I was talking to Burnell about it, and I told him how crazy the shipping was.
Maybe so. That's like them hats that we just done with the group. Now, they sold so quick, and then shipping was outrageous. I feel bad, but, you know, shipping is what it is.
You don't have any control over that.
No, you know, we got to do what we got to do. And fortunately, there's supply issues everywhere in every business. So it's
I'm currently on back order on the rest of the hats I ordered.
Two more questions for you, and then I want to get your opinions on my potential setup. I've been doing a lot of research, and I have what I think could be good for me to start this journey, and I want to get your opinions. But first, do either of you, I know, Buddy, you do. Catlin, do you film in the tree or no?
I did. I used to, but, man, it just... I never missed an opportunity on a deer filming, but it is sure I've been busted more times in a tree trying to get that camera, get that deer in frame or whatever. Just, I gave it up. I used to, but I don't anymore. I gave it up.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. What camera arm did you have?
I had a Gorilla.
A camera arm. Sure, make a big difference. I've learned that one already, and I hadn't got me a good one yet. I'm still using
what kind
one.
You got?
I got a Muddy, the real basic Muddy one.
This was a Gorilla. Now, this was a $80 camera arm. I know it was.
I'm ready. I've been looking at the $200 to $250 range camera arms. I'm ready to throw this Muddy one in the river.
Buddy, I'll tell you.
There's one right down the road.
I like Muddy. I like the brand. Like, they're, you know, no frills, like basic stuff. It gets the job done. And the camera arm gets the job done. I'm using I use the same one all year last year. And let me tell you, you're not wrong. It is as well, it does what they tell you to do. It holds your camera in the tree, but that's about it. I mean, the thing's squeaking. The pan head sucks. It's terrible. This year I'm gonna upgrade. Well, for next season I'm gonna upgrade to fourth arrow. I'm gonna get a fourth arrow stiff arm with the video pan head. It's about $250, but you know, you get what you pay for, man.
So I'm torn between, and I really am leaning more towards the fourth arrow, but I really, really like that pocket arm too.
Yeah.
What kind of camera do you have, buddy?
I have a Sony AX43.
What do you have, Colin?
I use a Canon 60D DSLR. Mine's more of a, I don't want to say still emphasized. You know, it obviously shoots video as well, but the video.
It's like a handheld camera style?
Yeah, with actual detachable lenses. It's like I have multiple lens setups. Yeah. And, you know, the camcorder is the way to go. It's just for what I use the DSLR for. It's a little more flexible. I can shoot stills. I can get decent video footage with it. So at some point, that'll probably become my second angle. And I'll get a different camcorder setup for a primary angle, but... those Sonys are the best, but they're just a little out of my price range right now to get the new handy camcorder.
Especially if you're thinking about getting a setup.
Yeah. Well, I think what buddy, some of those Sonys are about $1,800 for like the top end, like HD cams.
I got mine for $900, I think, maybe less.
Yeah. No, they
brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get up there. But yeah, I mean, it's an investment, you know. You got to have the right gear, and the right gear certainly helps. Like you said, that camera arm it helps a ton. All right, so this is what I'm thinking for my setup, and I just want your opinion. I don't know if this will make the episode or not, but this is what I'm thinking for my setup. Hawk Helium just came out with those new two-step 20s. Four of them retail for about $100, $109, with the suction cups and like the full setup.
Get it?
Yeah, I mean, that's as far as sticks go.
Cause
That's as cheap as you're going to find.
Everything else out there is going to be $120 a stick.
I've got the Hawk Helium 30-inch sticks. And, man, I love the 30-inch. I love the long ones. And I've never used the shorter ones. But, I mean, if they're as good as the 30s, you can't go wrong.
Well, here's the thing. Take the 20s. Get you some quarter-inch Amsteel rope. YouTube how to splice it. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And splice you some two-step aiders into each one. And just use three of them, and you'll get higher than 430s.
Right.
With no aider on them at all. It's just, you will. And if you'll save yourself some time and get you some 764 Amsteel and learn how to daisy chain, you'll thank me later on that as well.
Yeah, no, it's just
that. You sell them yours.
Yeah, or I could just sell you mine and make me some more, you know.
Well,
you're talking about my sticks. No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about it in Missouri too this fall, next fall.
Yeah.
If you bring some Amsteel, don't take me no time to get that stuff sewn together.
Yeah, no, I will, and we'll talk about it. We'll discuss that because I gotta figure it out too.
Let's hear this saddle setup.
Oh, I'm going Cruiser XC based on everybody's recommendations. Like I said, you know, the difference in price between the Tethered and Cruiser and Trophy line, you know, it's minimal, you know, $100 mm-hmm. at the extreme end to go from an XC into something cheaper. So for me, for $100 to step into an XC, which you guys have had so much success with and really enjoy using, and comfort wise, you know, have good reviews on it. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer to me. And I'll get that.
Now the XC model, if I could cut you off right there for just a second, the XC model is the pleated saddle. So it does expand, mm-hmm. you know, the saddle can expand a little bit by a couple of inches based. Now if you were just to get the regular Cruiser, I don't even know what the model name of it is. Just a Cruiser X, man? I don't know. Just they have a base model, but it's cheaper. It's just not pleated, you know. So it's going to be just one.
It's still one panel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still one panel, but it's not going to expand. You just have to look it up. I mean.
Yeah, what he's saying with that pleated, it's like two pleats in that XC. So what it is
it's like overlap.
You put your saddle on, and if you get up in the tree and you need some adjustments, you got them pleats that you can actually stretch out, and you get a little bit more of adjustments out of them.
Right.
Or you can move those straps further down your legs, or further up your back. You know.
Right. Yeah. And that seems like it's the best, you know, the best way to go for me. I'm a size 34 waist, so I'm going to go with a size 2 just because it's 34 to 38. And I'd rather have it slightly big because I'm late season hunting most of the time anyway, and double layers. So
yeah, you always go a little bit bigger. The ropes, now whenever you go to buy this saddle from Cruiser, I'm assuming you're going to buy a brand new one, or are you going to try to find a used one?
I'll probably just buy a brand new.
Yeah, that way you get that lifetime warranty when you do that. You know, it's, I don't know how they keep track of it, but I mean, Chadrick Rice is the owner and operator of Cruiser, and he's been good to us. He's, you know, messaged us on Facebook when we've had questions and stuff like that. And
I mean, you can't beat him.
You ain't gonna beat him as far as customer support, service. And I don't know the man, but I do know that he will uphold his lifetime warranty on that saddle.
So I'm gonna cut you off, and I'm gonna throw something in. So this guy across town, he bought a saddle this year. He's a real slender fella. So I don't know what size he ordered, but he ordered it and he got it, and he was dealing with a hip pinch. He called Cruiser, was talking to him. They said, well, let us send you the next size up. try them both out. Whichever one you decide you don't want, send it back. Who else is going to do that?
Yeah, that's unheard of.
I don't know of anybody else, but I mean, that's pretty good customer support right there.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to touch on something real quick. When I was first looking into buying mine, and you can look and see if it's still this way, I don't know. I was on Cruiser's website, and they sell the saddle kits. You can buy everything you need in one kit, and they send it all to you. Well, price it, look at it, write that price down. Write down everything that comes in that kit and go through it, put everything in that kit in a cart individually. It come out cheaper for me doing that way.
Didn't you mess up though doing something?
Uh-uh.
You was about to. You sent me a screenshot of something and I told you don't do that or something. What was that?
Left the tether out.
That? I caught. No.
No, I might have had two tethers in there because it came with two and I was thinking it came with one.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, he's right. And don't be scared to go to Tether's website or Trophy Line or somebody, see if their rope's cheaper. I mean, it might have cheaper
set. I got the Trophy Line knee pads because they cheap.
Yeah.
They work good.
No, I mean, at that point, you know, it's budget. You got to be budget conscious. You know, I have a muddy lineman's rope that I use with my current harness when I'm going into my lock-ons. I'm probably going to upgrade
now,
that.
I will say the carabiner on that muddy lineman belt weighs about two or three times more than that carabiner that comes from Cruiser. Because I have the same lineman belt you speak of that came with my regular harness. And I got looking at those the other day, as a matter of fact, and I noticed it was substantially heavier than the one that came from Cruiser. So
and you know, I was looking at it and I was comparing the two. For example, you can get the muddy one for $20. You can find them online for $19.99 brand new. I think at Cabela's or whatever, you'll find them for $24.99. you know, the lineman belt from Cruiser's $60. So you know, price wise is it the weight to price worth it? For some people it might be. For other guys it probably won't be. But that's just something each person has to consider and figure out for them.
Yeah.
You know?
I use that muddy carabiner on my setup now, as a matter of fact, only because I have a different use for that lighter carabiner. It goes with my, you know, one stick repelling kit, so I'm not scared of a little bit more weight, and I know Buddy ain't neither.
What?
Yeah, so that's kind of my setup I'm thinking. And then I think I'm going to go with the Trophy Line EDP platform. You can find them for like $160-170 new.
Now, you might want to check into that Cruiser platform. I know they come out with one, and it's angled at the edges.
It's flat, and then right out there at the end, it angles down.
Is what you're going to find yourself doing in this saddle is you're gonna be at an angle, so your feet are not going to be flat on this platform at all while you're hunting, unless you decide to stand up on it for a little while. So you got to put this in the back of your mind. My one stick platform is angled. My Predator, I have one of those Predator platforms just like Buddy has. It is not angled. Now, it does have an adjustment screw on it for you to put some angle to it, but it does not provide enough angle for my big feet. And I find myself standing on that very edge of that platform. So it gets to cutting into my feet sometimes. What do you think, Buddy? Is it?
Yeah, it does get uncomfortable at times, but I mean, I can feel it in my ankles.
That angled platform from Cruiser, I'm thinking is going to be better, in my opinion. I've never stood on one, but based off of that angled platform on top of my one stick, that angle, you can't beat that angled platform.
So I had one of those on order, and they stay on back order. They're
hot.
It's a hot top.
So what you guys are talking about is that front lip of the platform protruding from the tree is angled at a downward angle, so your feet are flat. So it's like you'd be standing it's a 90 degree angle.
You're hanging.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Hanging at it. No, well, I don't think it's 90. I think it's like 45 or something.
Right, to the tree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The platform is going to be roughly 90 to the tree, and then it's going to have a 45 off the very end of it.
Right, right. Yeah, but that's about the same angle that your tether is going to be coming off the tree.
Yes.
So, it, you know, it gives you a stable
platform
to
stand almost
straight.
So it matches your feet to a...
Yeah.
That's right.
No, that makes perfect sense.
You might want to look into that. I mean,
that's something I would never have even thought of, you know, because I haven't spent a significant amount of time in a saddle or any time in a saddle. And so that's something only somebody who's spent time in a saddle has dealt with, right?
As far as I know, I think Cruiser's the only company that makes that style of platform. I think it is large now. I think it is a larger platform.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I wouldn't mind trying a smaller platform than the one that I have.
I got one in the truck.
What you got?
That out on a limb. That's that little single. I mean, you can use it at the top of your stick. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to work tomorrow, so.
Now, you ain't coming back?
Not for 4 weeks.
Well, I'll be here. I don't miss them leaving days, I tell you.
I mean, it's the same idea as like an angled front on a hang-on. You know, the idea of having an angled front on a hang-on to put your feet against and having that angle be, you know, natural with your angle and your ankles and feet. Yeah, I would have never thought of that. That's a good... And for an extra, you know, $10 to get the Cruiser, if you can get one, that's not on back order because they're on back order currently. So.
Well, here, you'll probably, if you order one within the first quarter of 2022, I'm sure it'll be in by the time season starts. If you plan on buying everything at one time, now you may want to break it up.
Yeah, no, it's a lot, honestly. Not so much. I mean, well, it can be too for like financially, it could be a lot. But as far as like figuring out what little pieces you want where and what accessories you want and your whole system. Like you said, it's a systematic approach in comparison to like a hang-on where it's like, all right, I got my hang-on, I got my steps, let's go hunt. You know, there's a setup and a system that you have to follow to be successful.
You can get rid of this stuff very easy on the internet.
Yeah, if it's something you don't like, it don't take...
Somebody will buy it. Because they don't have to wait on those shipping. They don't have to wait on that back order or that, you know. I guarantee you everything's just about on back order right now.
So when I purchased my Archon, I was, prices hadn't quite went up yet. And when I purchased mine, and then when I sold it, prices has done went up, and I still sold it cheaper than what they could get it, more than I bought it for. So I pretty much just swapped saddles for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
You probably still could have done that anyway if you'd have contacted Cruiser.
I talked to them. And, it was, my thing is with my work schedules, when I get something, it takes me a while to where I can actually use it. And then by the time I actually am where I can use it and I want to play with it, I want to make sure that that's my right piece of equipment. And it may take me a while to say, no, this ain't it. I need to sort of make some changes. And by that time, several months have passed.
Yeah, it won't be in a do or die situation.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to, pull the trigger too soon and say, man, I wish I hadn't got rid of that saddle. It's a good bit of time had passed by the time I decided it was time to make a change.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, good advice. You never want to jump into anything or you want to test everything out. Give everything enough time to figure out what you like and don't like,
Yeah, so, no, I mean, I'm not, bashing Cruiser by no means. I mean, it was all on me how long it had been since I had, because it took me a while before I was even home to where I could use it. And it took me a while to really decide.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. And testing it and practicing with it and trying to get comfortable with it and thinking that it's me there for a while. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So,
when I first did my first hunt out of that saddle, I knew it was it. I knew, it was just like, I made a good decision here.
I knew that as soon as I put that XC on. I said, oh, this is what I've been missing.
I remember you carrying that in Missouri. I remember you carrying that lock on in and out, packing that thing up.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it was still, you wasn't in Alabama. You were having to get down on your hands and knees to get through that thicket, get up there. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what,
that last fold of property I hunted a week or two ago, man, Missouri public land ain't got nothing on that public land. That public land I hunted a week or two ago, it'll put some corns on your feet.
Oh, yeah, it's hill country up there.
So, what do you guys have left for the season? I mean, you're not even to the rut down there, so you got good buck activity, or what's the deer activity looking like right now?
It's slow right now. I've been told by some friends that they seeing some young bucks getting curious and, you know, nosing around, pushing here and there. But I mean, we're way down south now. There's a lot of Alabama still north of us, and you know, and they're full rut in some places right now. You know, in Alabama, so. But right here in my area, that's pretty slow.
Well, a buddy of mine killed a coal buck the other day, and I went over there and helped him track it, and that thing
stumped.
Oh yeah, he stumped. He stumped bad. He got wedged in between two trees and died. You saw that?
Yeah.
He was running to his death and ran between two small oak trees and died.
Yeah.
But he was stinking, and he's a big dog hunter too. He killed that one steel hunting, but 90% of the time he's dog hunting, and he said here lately they've killed a couple of bucks that were stinking down there, you know. But
I'm finna wrap us up right here. So everybody, I hope y'all enjoyed having Catlin on the show. He, good friend of mine, damn good deer hunter. He knows how to get it done. He knows how to saddle hunt. But if y'all will, you know, just kind of bear with us. We're going to look for y'all for some support. We're going to run some polls, see what y'all think, what y'all want to hear. Y'all keep sticking with us. 365 Outdoors.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all listening.
Next time you hear from Catlin, we'll probably be sitting around a fire in Missouri next fall.
Maybe it won't be that long.
Hopefully so.
No, I mean on the podcast. Maybe he'll be back on before then. You're always welcome. All right, guys. Well,
I've got a lot of opinions on a lot of different things.
Hey, man. You know, I'm happy to have anybody who has any opinion on about anything. It'd be great. I haven't even heard Buddy's opinions on anything yet. Except
let's just about Joe Biden.
Well, I have, and they're not very good. Let's get into bow tuning next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the 365 Outdoors Podcast. Please share your comments, concerns, and of course content by following us on Instagram at 365 Outdoorsman. Join our Facebook group and like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 365 Outdoors.